Cleo is going to come, and he is going to read for us Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We spent some time here Wednesday night, and we're going to spend some more time here this morning. And I want to share some more things here with you on that. And so if you'll turn to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11.
No, it might be cloudy outside, but if you know Jesus Christ, then you have the S-O-N shine in your heart. That'll be Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering.
Amen. Some interesting things about this portion of Scripture as I begin to look and read. And we're going to, just for a moment here, go down and look at some key words in this passage that Brother Cleo read for us, and actually in just the first seven verses. I find some things interesting here. The Bible says that Peter and John went up together. What that kind of shows me here is there was a partnership between Peter and John. They were, and what's really interesting is we're going to see that again here in just a few minutes, but there was a partnership. They were heading in a direction together, the Bible says. They went up together, and they went to the temple, the Bible says, at about the ninth hour. And again, we talked about this Wednesday. That was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was a typical scheduled time for the children of Israel. They prayed three times a day, and this was the last time of the day that they would gather in the temple, and they would pray. And it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And now in verse number two, kind of the things that I see that's really interesting there. In verse number one, they went up together. Verse number two. It says here there was a certain man. And when we see these kind of, when you begin to see this pattern, this was not an accidental happening. This was planned, and it was orchestrated by God Himself. We talked about this Wednesday night. This was the first recorded miracle in the New Testament church. And again, the book of Acts is a transitional book. And so the purpose of all of this was to show how Christ was going to continue His earthly ministry. He had ascended, the Holy Spirit came down, but Christ was going to continue His ministry, and this miracle was done so that we would see how Christ was going to continue His ministry. And that was through through believers and through the workers of Christ, those who are saved. And so it says here that in verse number two, a certain man that was lame from his mother womb. And it says, and was carried. These are things that help me understand that this was not just a coincidence. It was not an accident. And the Bible says that he was carried, and they laid him daily. And as I got to thinking about that, how he was carried and they laid him daily, I got to thinking about this beggar. And I got to doing a little bit of research, and I kind of wondered, because it talks about the here that he was laid by the beautiful gate. And I began to wonder, okay, what was the beautiful gate? What was that all about? And there's some ideal, and some people talk about how it was in the interior, and some folks talk about where it was at the beginning. And he was put in a certain place. Now, what it was interesting about the beautiful gate, and the reason it was called the beautiful gate is because it was very beautiful. Inside, as you walk through the double entry there, the ceilings were curved, and it was very beautiful. But he was put there for a purpose. You see, because this man was a lame man and could not walk, he was not permitted in the temple. That was as far as he was allowed to go because of his infirmity. People who had infirmities and things like that didn't get to go into the temple any further than where they were at. And so that's where he was laid. And I really kind of thought that very, very interesting that he, and the Bible says that he was put there daily. And then it says here in verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John, this man, as he laid there or sat there at the gate, couldn't move and was helpless. He saw Peter and John. And again, the Bible says, about to go into the temple, they were about to go into the temple, and he asked alms. Now, the response, and this is where we're going to spend a lot of time of Peter here. The Bible says, and Peter fastened his eyes with John and said, look on us. I really kind of find that interesting. Peter and John, in verse number 1, were going up together into the temple. Now here they are, when Peter addresses the need and looks at the need, and the Bible says that he fastened his eyes upon him with John. So when Peter looked at this man that was laying at the gate, he couldn't go any further into the temple because of his infirmity. They just would not permit it. And he was laying there, had been laying out there daily, being placed out there for 40 years, begging for anybody that would have mercy on him, or anybody that would give him a little bit of money or help him out in some way. And I really, as I begin to think about this man, I begin to really feel sorry for him. But see, Peter, the Bible says, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. I really found that very interesting, because Peter didn't do it alone. He had a partner. And both of them fastened their eyes, and they looked. And both of them said, and Peter said, look on us. And then in verse number 5, some key words that really kind of stuck out there is when they told him to look on us, this man looked at them expecting, the Bible says, to receive something. The tone of Peter telling that man to fasten, when Peter looked at this man and he looked at the need, and then Peter told him, look on us. It was a very, first of all, authoritative statement. It wasn't a request. It was a command. He said, look on us. And we're going to look at see how Peter could be so bold. And then Peter goes on to tell the man to look on him. And then the man looked at them expecting to receive something. I would that we as a church, when we go out and we face needs, and we tell folks, look on us. I would pray that our tone and our demeanor would be so strong that by just saying it, people would expect to receive something from us. Now, what this man was expecting to receive, most likely, was not what he got. Because Peter went on to say, silver and gold have I none. Yeah. You know, so what that man realized right up front, he wasn't going to get no money. Peter was not going to give him something that he did not have. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I know what you're looking for, but I don't have any of that to give to you. But such as I have, such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? Well, he goes on to say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, Peter made it very clear, I don't have any silver and gold to give you, but that's really not what you need anyway. What you need, and I have it, is you need Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And he gave him a command, another command, rise up and walk. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come to you in prayer, and I pray that you would help me, Lord, this morning to deliver the message that I believe that you have for your people today. Lord, I pray that as we look in to what you have for us, and Lord, what you've showed me here from this scripture, Lord, I pray that it would change the way we do things. Lord, I pray that it would change the direction. Lord, I just pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for anyone that might be tuning in today, or Lord, anyone that might be here today that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, they don't have the security of knowing that if they died in the seat that they're sitting in, that they would spend eternity in heaven. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to their heart, and if they're not sure about that, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would make that sure. And Father, we just pray now that you would have your will and your way. Lord, speak to hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. I put a title on the message here, and it's kind of a long title. It's Jesus Works Through Those Who Fasten Their Eyes Upon the Need. You know, Peter and John here, they were heading where they normally go. They were doing what they normally do, and praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. The majority of us that are here today, this is what we normally do. On Sunday, I don't think about doing anything else on Sunday except for coming to church. I don't think anything, all day Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. This is what I plan on Wednesday. I don't think of anything else, planning my day or going anywhere else or doing anything else other than being back here at 6:30 on Wednesday evening and 6 o'clock on Sunday. You know, it's my normal routine. Now, why do I come? Well, I come. One of the reasons I come is because I'm your pastor and I'm the under shepherd of the church. And with that position, there comes responsibility. My responsibility is to make sure that you get spiritually fed. My responsibility is to make sure that you get the message that God has for our church. My responsibility is to the best of my ability and following God to direct the church in the direction that it should go. But you know, as Peter and John were on their normal routine, it wasn't Peter by himself. It was John with him. And you know, as you've come to church, and I thank the Lord for that, and as we come to church, I want to encourage us to make sure that we go together. That we go together. As I became your pastor, I told you right up front that there was no way that I could build this church alone. And it needed to be a group effort. But, you know, it's not enough just to see the desperate need of the world. And I want to kind of focus and look here, because this man, crippled man from his mother's womb that needed healing here, he represents the world. He represents the lost. He represents those who have a need. And the Bible tells us here that Peter, in verse number 4, and we're gonna spend some time here, the Bible says that Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. And so what that tells me is it's not good enough to just see the desperate need of this world. You know, we talk about it a lot. We put the map up out back, out in the lobby. We have our missionaries here. We've had missionaries come in and speak. We do a lot of focusing on the need of the world, and we do a lot of talking about it. But you know what, folks? It's not enough to just focus on it. It's not enough to just talk about it. And it's not just enough to look and see the need of people who are suffering and hurting. You know, we watch the news and we see a lot of sad things on the news nowadays. We see a lot of shootings, and and what's really sad is when young people, kids go into school and they turn on each other and shoot, and it's all really sad, and a lot of needless deaths take place nowadays. A lot of things going on, you know, and as we look at that, you know what that's all a sign of? People hurting, people suffering, and people that are lost. And you know, we see it on the news. We talk about it in church. We talk about it amongst each other. But you know what? And sometimes, I even get to the point where I think about it and think, you know, why bother talking about it? It isn't going to change anything. Well, Peter didn't agree with that. John didn't agree with that. You see, what they did is, the Bible says here that they fastened their eyes, or Peter fastened his eyes. Now, what does that mean? He looked at the need. He not only looked at the need, he looked at the man. And the Bible says that, that he fastened his eyes. He fixed his attention. He earnestly, intensively gazed, steadfastly. He gave it attention. You know, he gave it so much attention that what he began to do is he began to focus, and he began to look upon it, and he continued to focus. He began to look at it, and he began to determine on what he could do to meet the need. You know, we can talk about our community and them needing Christ. We can go to the grocery store and we can see the need. We can turn on the television and see the need. We can focus on it. We can talk about it. But folks, it's not enough. What we need to do is we need to focus so much attention on it that we do something about it. And see, Peter, that's what he did. He looked at that man, and I'm sure that Peter probably possibly knew a little bit about this man. We talked about this on Wednesday night. This man had been laying there and had been brought daily to the beautiful gate, daily laid down there and sat there for 40 years. If this is the first time Peter's seeing it, Peter's blind. If this is the first time that John realizes it, John is blind. You see, I'd almost be willing to believe that they not only knew that this man would be at the gate, they probably knew why he was at the gate. You see, this man, he was crippled. He had no family. He was unable to work. He was poor. He was helpless. Having to fend for himself, being ignored, never fitting in. You know, and out of all of those, you know, I got to thinking about that one there, never fitting in. You know, none of us like to be alone. None of us like to be an outcast. Can you imagine sitting there for 40 years? People walking past you day after day after day after day. You know, I got to thinking about, you know, a lot of these men, and some of y'all have responded to their needs, and ladies that have a sign out there, "We'll work for food," or I'm a homeless vet, and they're begging for money. Now again, I'll confess. You know what my instinct is? Get as far away as I can. You know, I'll pull up there, and they'll have their sign out there, and I do my best not to make eye contact. You know why I do that? Well, sometimes I'm noble, and I'm on my way somewhere, and I've got better things to do than to tend to that need. But you know why I don't look at him? Is because I know when I do, he's going to make eye contact with me, and he's going to expect something from me. And you know what, folks? Rightfully so. Rightfully so. But you know what I do a lot of times is I ignore the need. Now, obviously, I know we got to balance this out, and I've talked to a couple of folks in our church that have got into some cons of people that, they had a sign up there just because they were too lazy and they didn't want to work, and they would take advantage. We had a person for a long time was calling the church, and they would the lady would ask us to come down and take her to the hospital, or take her to the doctor's office, or take her to the pharmacy. And what all that meant is we were taking her to the pharmacy, picking up her medicine and paying for her medicine, taking her home. And then one day she called and she said, "I'm babysitting my grandson, and I need some Pampers. Will you get some? Will you bring my grandson some diapers?" Well, she'd give us a whole list of exactly what kind of diapers, what brand, what kind, what age, you know, everything, how many of them to bring down. And this lady lives in Covington. And one day, Tammy took her down, and we got a call, and Tammy went to the doctor's office and picked her up, took her home, dropped her off, got back to the house. And the lady was on the phone again, and she said, "Oh, I didn't get my prescriptions filled. Can you come back?" Tammy got back in the car, drove all the way back down there, took her to the pharmacy, filled her prescriptions, got back, and the lady took one of the pills, and it didn't set right with her. So she called Tammy and said, "Can you take me over to the emergency room?" And eventually, what we had to do is just say, "Okay, you know, we've helped you," because this was going on over and over and over again. So again, I'm telling you all this story to kind of balance things out. We've got to use wisdom. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll have situations like that. Then we'll start ignoring needs all over. You know, and I would like to be a little bit more spiritual, or I shouldn't say spiritual, but I would like to be a little bit more direct this morning and speak with you about our community, about the area where our church is. I was knocking on some doors, and I introduced myself and told them, "I'm the pastor at Faith Independent Baptist Church. You know, just stopping by and knocking on the door today. And, it was in the neighborhood and wanted to invite you to church." Faith in a Baptist Church? Where is that? All right, I'm in this subdivision up here. Donna Joy, right up here where Tanya and Brother Bud live. And so I'm knocking on the door, and the lady's asking me, "Well, Faith Independent Baptist Church, where is that?" Well, right out there on Elijah Creek Road. There's a church on Elijah Creek Road? Now, I don't know if she's pulling my leg or not. Well, she said, I go up and down that road every day. And I started describing to her the church and everything. Oh, yeah, okay, I remember. And folks, for our church, last year, we did a John M. Romans project. And we put John M. Romans together, and we covered that subdivision up there. There's more subdivisions to cover. You see, and what I'm getting at here is Peter and John, what they did is they saw the need, and they focused on the need. You know what I want to encourage us to do this summer? I want to encourage us to focus on the need in this area. You know, we praise the Lord. Last year, none of our missionaries missed a check, and we thank the Lord for that. And that's a miracle in itself, because the pandemic and offerings down and all of that kind of stuff. But praise the Lord, all of our missionaries got taken care of. Not one of them did without. And I thank the Lord for that. But I want this summer for us to focus. And when I say focus, like Peter and John, focus on our area. You see, there's a need here. There's people who are lonely. There's people who are sick. But most importantly, there's a whole bunch of people that do not know Christ is their personal Savior. And as we focus and we look at their need, their spiritual need, you know, we might have to focus a little bit and meet a financial need or two in order to have opportunity to meet a spiritual need. But you know what our goal needs to be? Our goal needs to be focused. And as Peter and John looked at this man that was laying there and said, fasten, and Peter told him, fasten your eyes, or Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. You know how we're going to meet the need in this area? Is we get out there and we fasten our eyes on the need to the point of doing something about it. Well, to the point of looking at the people and telling them, hey, the need that you have, look on us. You know, I was thinking, you know, and I didn't get a chance to get it put on the sign out there, but, you know, I was thinking about putting there, you know, have a question. Come on in, we've got the answer. And so Peter and John, they fastened their eyes upon the man, and they told him, look on us. You know, they had confidence. They had confidence that God was going to do something. Because again, Peter told him, silver and gold have I none. You know, Peter wasn't going to give him something he didn't have. Peter was only going to give him what he did have. But such as I have, I give unto thee. Focusing on the need and telling them to look up. Jesus will work through those who reach out to meet the need. You say, well, how are we going to get it done? Are we going to be able to afford to reach this area for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we going to be able to afford to reach the world for all that matters for the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not a rich bunch. You know, I don't know of any millionaires that we got in here. If you are, come see me later and I'll talk with you. But you know, we're just common folks, each and every one of us. I get up and some of us, you know, and some of us that are, you know, still holding down regular jobs, we get up and we go to work, we do things, and we have a family that we provide and take care of. And so how do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ will work through those who reach out to meet the need. Can I give you an example? Last year, COVID, we had to postpone our missions conference. Then we wound up even, we postponed it, and then we were going to have it in October, and then we didn't even wind up having it in October because things still weren't going back. Remember what we decided to do? Remember what I asked you all that we would do? We would have a missionary come in each month, and we would have a missions emphasis week and give that missionary a good love offering to help them along the way, because like Brother Jones, lost a lot of meetings. That churches weren't open. There was no place for them to go. You know, praise the Lord, to the glory of God, every month from, I believe it was from June till the end of the year, we had a missionary in every month. The least amount that was given was $1,800.
Amen.
Every single month. You say, well, how did we do that? Well, what we did is we focused on a need. We looked at that need, we saw that need, and what we did is we challenged our faith. And we said, okay, we're not only going to look at it, what we're going to do is we're going to be determined to do something about it. That's the kind of focus that we're talking about. And folks, I want to encourage you, that's the kind of focus that we need to have in our community with our churches, that we focus to the point that we're doing something about it. And Jesus will work through those who reach out to meet the need. Did our church bills go unmet, Sister Carol? Did we miss an electric bill? Well, in fact, our central unit, our heat pump, went out. Cost us $10,000. God provided.
He did. Amen.
God took care of. And see, when we decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when we decide to give people what they need, what we can count on, and Peter and John, what they were convinced with, and what they were so sure, and the reason Peter told him, look on us, because Peter had the answer. You know, we have the answer for what our community needs. Silver and gold have we none, but what we have, we need to give unto them. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ will work through those who will reach out and touch, reach out and meet the need. In verse number 5, Peter strived. Peter stirred up in that man, within that man, to receive something. When he said, "Look upon me," his words were so strong. His words were so confident that no matter what that man's need was, God had the answer. You know what it stirred up in that man? Where that man, in verse number 5, the Bible tells us, was expecting to receive something. And folks, I believe if we'll get out there and we'll knock some doors, if we'll get out there and pass out some gospel tracts, if we'll go out and do some surveying, and if we'll go out there and let people know we're here, and we do it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what'll happen? People will be expecting something from us. And it's not going to be silver and gold. It's going to be what we have. And it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to focus. Peter's words demonstrated that he was sure and confident that he himself belonged to God. He was God's he was God's child. You see, Peter's response had confidence. I wonder if maybe the reason some of us have problems with witnessing is we're not even sure if we're saved ourselves. We're not even sure that we're part of the family of God. You know, many people have different ways of looking at it, but the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples, He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." But you know, I really believe that the reason the reason a lot of people don't witness is because they're not even sure that they have Jesus Christ their self. Do you wonder if you died whether you'd go to heaven or hell? You know, when I ask myself that question, I can with confidence answer it. I know I'm on my way to heaven. You know, it's not because I'm a good person, because I fall short of that. It's not because I've done good things. Because the Bible says my very best is as filthy rags in the sight of God. It's not because Miss Tammy and I were missionaries for 32 years and traveled around the world. I'm sure and confident because of what the Word of God tells me. I'm sure and confident because the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, I'm not basing my salvation and going to heaven on what I've done or what church I've been a member of or whether or not I've been baptized. I'm basing upon what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me in dying and paying for my sin on Calvary. And the Bible tells us that if we'll do that, then we don't have to wonder, we don't have to guess. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know you have eternal life." You know, God doesn't want you running around guessing whether you're saved or not. We got 66 books to teach us and to help us know how we can know for sure that heaven's our home. And God doesn't want us walking around wondering whether we are or whether we're not. But you know, I really believe the reason a lot of people don't witness more than we do, or more than you do, is because you're not even sure that you're a child of God yourself. But you know, Peter and John here, they had no question about that. They had no question because, as Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." I'm broke. You know, I don't have a penny. My pockets are empty. But such as I have, I give unto thee. You know what he's saying? What I do have is I have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that what Peter was saying, that he knew that if he was to die that day, that he would spend eternity in heaven. And he said, "What I have, I can share it with you. I can give it to you because you know what? There's enough of Jesus to go around for everybody." And so he said, "But such as I have, I give unto thee." He had a plan. To help the man in need. You know, there's another reason why a lot of times we don't witness, or a lot of times we don't get things done as a church that we should, is because we don't have a plan. My dad told me, "You aim for nothing, that's exactly what you get. Nothing." You know, I would rather aim for something and fall short of it than aim for nothing and get nothing. We need to have a plan. We need to sit down and we need to talk and we need to discuss and we need to have a plan on how we can help. You see, Peter had a plan. His plan was Jesus. He was so confident in his plan that when he told the man, he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The Bible says in verse number 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. You know, there was no hesitation. You see, he had a plan, and his plan was Jesus Christ, and he was so confident in that plan that as soon as he spoke the words, he reached around, the Bible says, and took him by the right hand. You know, I really kind of find that interesting, the right hand. Picked him up, lifted him up, and the Bible says immediately his feet and his ankles, bones, received strength. You know, if we've got a plan to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've got to have a missions plan. We've got to have a way and an ideal and a direction to go to make sure that we meet the needs of the missionaries and that we get the gospel into all the world. You know, the only way that we're going to reach this community for the Lord Jesus Christ is to have a plan. Well, I want to encourage you with me. I've got a plan. And you know what that plan is? That plan is going back to some good old-fashioned shoe leather. Now, mine are rubber, and we'll wear out some of that. You know what we need to do? We need to get out, and we need to start knocking doors. We've spent far too much time waiting for them to come here. Last year, now God blessed, last year, when we did our John and Romans campaign, we had a total of 9 people come from this subdivision up here. Now I would that they would have stayed, got saved, and still been here today. They're not. And partly, that was due to lack of planning. Because we didn't go back to their house and say, hey, here's that pesky church that put that flyer on your door, that John and Romans on your door, we're back. Will you come? You see, we need to have a plan. And the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, that plan is to go. That plan is to get out there. That plan is to knock on the door. You say, well, you know, preacher, you know, my schedule, I don't know if I can fit that in my busy schedule. Can I challenge you to fit it in? You see, that's part of the planning. If you don't plan it in, the devil's not going to give you the free time. You know, as you all do, I deal with it as well each week. As I head out to do things, I get busy, and if I don't plan to knock on doors, if I don't plan to visit, you know what doesn't get done? Visiting, it just doesn't get done. And so we need to have a plan. We need to have a means. We need to go out. We need to knock doors. We need to invite them. You say, well, I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't have time to do that. You know how you get comfortable with something? You do it. You know how you get comfortable with knocking on doors and inviting people to come to church? You go with someone who's done it, and you spend a little bit of time with them, and then you go and you do likewise. And so we need to plan it in. We need to have a plan. We need to have a plan to help the world. And we need to go, and we need to do it. And how can we reach out to our Jerusalem? First of all, we've got to stop waiting and start acting. You know, Jesus, when he talked to his disciples in John chapter 4, and he told them, he said, look unto the fields, for they're already white unto harvest. You see, what the disciples were saying is, hey, you know, we still got some time. You know, they're still, Jesus told them, say not there's 4 months into the harvest. You know, it wasn't necessarily harvest time. There was still 4 months, but you know what Jesus said? Don't wait. Say not there are 4 months in the harvest. The fields are already white unto harvest. And so what we need to do is we need to get out there. We need to go. And the reason our community is not being reached is because we're not going, and we need to go. And now's the time. It's the essential things if we're going to reach our community is we need to go out in the power of God to meet the need of our community, to meet the need of the world. We will need to have confidence that we belong to God. We will need to think and plan and meet to meet the need. We are expecting and believing that God will meet the need through us. You know, the biggest thing that we have, folks, is fear. Fear keeps us from doing a lot of things. But as we were able to help a lot of missionaries last year, you know why we were able to help them? Because we stepped out on faith and we said, okay, now we have a plan. This is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to get it done, and this is how we're going to be a blessing. And praise the Lord, you all stepped up to the need. It was taken care of, and we were none the worse for it. Now what we need to do is we need to focus on our community. We need to focus on building the church and bringing people and inviting people in. So what we need to do, we need to have a plan. We need to sit down and discuss how we're going to do it. And we also need to make sure that we have confidence that we belong to Him. We need to make sure that we have enough faith and trust in Him that He will meet the need if we'll get up and take care of what's needed. You say, well, you know, can we afford it? Well, can we afford not to? Can we afford not to? What happens when we stop knocking doors? What happens when we stop visiting? You say, well, we did that last year, Pastor. You said 9 people came, but they didn't stay. All that money, what was it for? Well, first of all, it was in obedience to what God told us to do. Secondly, you know, we didn't get that 9, but I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can count 8 others, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody, 9, right now, in this auditorium this morning, that we didn't have last year at this time. You say, now wait a minute, that didn't have anything to do with the John and Romans. It had everything to do with the John and Romans. We stepped out and obeyed and did what God said to do. And you know what God did? God blessed. God took care of the need. And if we'll plan this year to make a difference, to get out there, you say, well, what if they don't come? Well, that's between them and God. But I do know one thing. From the past, God will bless. You say, well, can we afford to? We can't afford not to. As I about ready to say, you know what happens to a church that stops knocking doors? You know what happens to a church that stops going out into the mission field and compelling to people come in? They grow old and they die. And eventually, they no longer exist. Or they hire a rock band and change their Bible and become a social club.
Right.
Well, as long as you have me as your pastor, we ain't never going to do that.
I
would walk out of here, bar the doors closed, and shut it down before we change the Bible and bring in a rock band.
Amen.
And do concerts.
That's right.
And have a contemporary church. Not me. Because that's not God's way.
Amen.
But I'm confident. God has sustained us. God will sustain us. God will bless us. And if we'll use the resources that God has given us, God will give us more. Our Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and owns the hills that the cattle are on. And we have seen through this last year, through a very difficult time, how God is blessed. And we're sitting better now than we were then. Why? Well, God promised that if we take care of His servants, He'd take care of us. You know, there's a lot of churches through this pandemic that don't exist anymore. Well, what happened? They lost their faith. They lost sight on what we're here for and what's important. And I want to encourage you, church, this year to plan with me, help me. You see, Peter and John, they were together. They were going to the temple together. They were there helping the man within need together. And what I need is I need a bunch of Johns that'll team up, plan in the schedule to go knock doors and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, folks, if we'll do that, we'll see God do some great things in a mighty way. We'll see I'll not say the word right, but it's the word coming to mind, fruition. However that, you know, the desire to send someone out of this church as a missionary. You know how we're going to get there? We start here. And I want to encourage you. God has showed me so much out of the passage here in Acts chapter 3. And it was because two men decided that they were going to trust God. They saw a need and they would not take their eyes off the need. Let's not take our eyes off the need. They used what they had, not what they didn't have. What we have is a Savior. And that's what the world needs. That's what this community needs. That's what the world needs. That's what our president needs. That's what our vice president needs. That's what the House of Representatives and the Congress and all the rest of them, that's what they need. They need Jesus. And so will you go with me this summer? Will you knock doors with me? Will you pass out flyers again with me this year? You know, it's amazing. We did, I'll quit here so we can get going. My challenge to you for today is, let's just get moving. You know, God's done some great things. Before I came, you all decided to send out Valve Pack. I believe it costs about $1,500. Those Valve Packs, they went out through how many communities? How many houses? Thousands. Well, what good did that do us? Got a young family back there. Got a young family back there that loves the Lord. You say, well, that's only one out of thousands. Hey, I'll tell you what, you've seen that boy work. it was a good investment. What he's done around here in the church, and not ask a dime for it. Well, hey, you got a return on your investment.
Amen.
And now it's on the financial end, but on the spiritual end, you got a young family that loves the Lord. and a young family that wants to do something for God. You know, sometimes I got to kind of hold Cleo back a little bit. Thank God. You see, if we knock every door in this community and no one comes from the community, it doesn't matter. God will bless and bring them in from somewhere else. We just got to be faithful. I want to challenge you, folks, this summer, let's make it a summer to remember. People are out there, they're hurting, they're lonely. It has been, I've had less people since the pandemic refuse gospel tracts than there ever has been before. Actually, I think I can only maybe count 3 people since the pandemic has come that has refused to take a gospel tract from me. I've had a lot of people question and ask. A lot of people say, I'm scared. How's all this going to work out? And it's gave me wonderful opportunity to witness and tell them. Now's the time. Let's use it. Brother Dave, if you'll come, we're going to have an invitation. If God's dealt with your heart on anything, if you're here this morning and you are not saved, will you come forward and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If God's been dealing with you about any area or anything in your life that you need to do, will you just be obedient to God? Just be obedient to God. Whatever it is He tells you to do, just do it. Don't worry about how it's going to work out or what's going to happen. Just do it.